بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My brothers and sisters, Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is not the name of a theory. Islam is not the name of a philosophy. Islam is the name of a practice. And like any practice, Islam only benefits when you act on it, when you act according to it. Simply knowing about Islam is not beneficial. It is essential because if you want to practice something, you have to know about it. But if you only stop at that you have acquired some information, then this will not help when it is needed, which is in this life and the next life. Islam is the name given to the way of life that was created for the benefit of humankind by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. This is the way of life which is called Islam, which we also know as Deen, which is the way of life of how to live in this dunya. How to live in this dunya is the meaning of Deen. And when we live in the dunya according to that, then our akhirah also is built. So this is a added benefit of living in this dunya according to Islam, that it gives us a beautiful life in this dunya as well as in the akhirah. But as I said, the key is to act according to it, like any practice. If we take absolutely anything, if we act according to that particular practice, then it benefits us. Whether it's martial arts, whether it is weight control, whether it is exercise, you take anything. Take driving a car, for example. The only one who can benefit from driving a car is the one who learns to drive. You cannot learn to drive by watching videos on driving. You have to go and sit in the car, sit with the instructor, he will teach you, then you learn. And that is how Islam also came into being, and that is how Islam also was taught by Rasulullah. And that is why somebody asked Shaykh Ibn al-Usaymin, rahimahullah, he said, what is the optimum way of benefiting from knowledge? Ibn al-Usaymin, rahmatullah, said, it is very simple. When you learn something, you act on it. He said, for example, you learn that praying in the jama'ah, in the masjid, praying in the congregational prayer is fard, so go and pray. What is the complication? You learn it is something to be done, this is fard, that you should go and pray in the masjid, so go and pray. You know it is fard to honor your parents, so honor them. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited something, so don't do it. He said the issue is, this much we know, the issue is that what comes in the way is our desire. What comes in the way is our desire. So I know I should pray in the masjid, there is no doubt in my mind about this, but I feel lazy. But I have something else to do, which is more closer to my heart. So I leave the prayer in the masjid and I pray at home. I was speaking to, yesterday we had our Sira workshop, today also it is there. So the person who was taking me there, on the way he said, there is a great shortage of knowledge. He said, there is a great shortage of knowledge. I said, no, there is a surplus of knowledge. There's no shortage. We've got enough and more knowledge. What is short is amal, is action. He said, how do you mean? So I asked him, I said, do you know that praying the fard salah in the masjid is fard? He said, yes. I said, did you pray fajr today? He said, yes. I said, where did you pray? He said, at home. So I said, is it a shortage of knowledge or shortage of action? You know it is fard. You know you should go to the masjid and pray. So you had the knowledge. But Application was not there. You prayed, but you prayed at home. So where is the shortage of knowledge? People today who are dealing in interest, do they not know it is haram? Do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war on the one who deals in interest? But they are still dealing. So is there a shortage of knowledge or shortage of amal? The people who are doing israf in their weddings and so on, don't they know it is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah called the people who do israf, ikhwanu shayateen. He said, these are the brothers of shaitan. Now, the problem is our ghira also has gone. Toh gali diye toh gali asar nahi ho raha, gali ka bhi asar nahi ho raha. Shaitan ka bhai hai, bolo toh nahi, apna tarif kar raha, samajh raha. Hey, what is to be done? I mean, seriously, this is the question. If somebody is criticized, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not only criticized, he criticized in the worst possible way. Because who is the worst of creation? Shaitan. Allah says the one who does israf is the brother of shaitan. Innal mubadirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Truly they are the brothers of shaitan. No, in the istilah of the Quran, there is no worse insult. But you don't feel insulted. So what to do? So where is the shortage? The shortage is of amal, of action. And that is why Shaykh Ibn al-Husaymin, rahimahullah, he said that what comes in the way is desire. So he said, what you need to do is to conquer this desire. This desire is what you should weaken, you should break. You know what to do. The issue is, we don't do it. Why don't we do it? Because of desire. So this desire must be broken. That is why if you look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you not seen the one who has taken his desire as his ilah? What is ilah? Ilah is object of worship. So if somebody takes anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever it might be, whatever it might be, if somebody is taking something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his or her ilah, as his or her deity, as his or her object of worship, what do we call this in Islam? Shirk. What is shirk? Shirk is to worship someone other than Allah or to associate someone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is shirk. This is open, major shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called obeying the desires in opposition to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as major shirk. And Allah said, have you not seen? Ara'aita mani takhada ilahahu hawa. Have you not seen the one who has taken for his ilah, for his object of worship, his desire? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from making shafaat, from interceding, from seeking forgiveness for such a person. أَفَتَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah says, are you going to be an intercessor for such a person? What does it mean? It means do not intercede. This person will go into the hellfire, this person I will punish, and you will not intercede about this. You will not tell me, don't punish this person. Compare this with the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about people who are committing sins, which is also desire. Because of desire they are doing that. But the person is committing a sin, and this is a person who knows it's a sin, right? Out of weakness or something, this person is doing this. Then he makes tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive those people. Allah said, if as long as you commit the sin and you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. And Allah said, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So this is the, as far as the forgiveness of Allah is concerned. But when it comes to obeying your desires in opposition to obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Allah is saying. Now the issue is, why do we do this? Why do we obey our desires instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders, which we know very well? And to me, there is only one reason. And that reason is a lack of yaqeen in the akhirah. Anyone who believes that he will die, anyone who believes that he or she will die, and that one day they have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on that day they will be questioned about everything, such a person cannot follow their desires in opposition to the orders of Allah. And if at some point, on some occasion, this happens, immediately that person will make tawbah. They will not stay on that. They will not insist on doing that. Israr ala al-ma'asi, to insist on sin, this is from the asbab su al-khatima. This is from the means or the ways of a bad ending, of an ending without iman. May Allah protect us from this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us husn al-khatima, inshallah, the best of ending. So what takes a person away, what takes a person into a bad ending, is to insist on sin. See, one is to commit a sin. We are all weak, may Allah forgive us. You know, somebody, for example, we know ghibat is haram, Allah has prohibited. But may Allah protect us. Someday we are sitting with somebody, somebody says something, we say something, or we listen to that or something. Then later on, immediately the person who has iman, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the difference between a muttaqi and a fasiq, he said the muttaqi, if he commits a sin, it is for him as if there is a huge rock which is suspended above his head, which might fall on his head at any minute and crush him. So immediately he wants to get rid of this rock, so he makes tawbah, istighfar, he said, Ya Allah, this mistake I made, I am sorry, forgive me. If he has hurt somebody, he will go and apologize, he will say, I am very sorry, I did this. He won't keep this. He will not keep, oh, kisi ka udhar nahi rakhta, he does not keep anybody's account, he cleans it completely. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the fasiq, the rebellious person, he considers even a major sin to be like a fly sitting on his nose. If he just waves, it will go away. But that's not a reality, no, it will not go away. If you have committed a major sin, unless you make tawbah, illa mashallah, Allah can forgive who he likes, but the usul is that if you don't make tawbah, you will not be forgiven. So why don't we do that? Because we do not have faith in the akhirah. It's a simple, according to me, this is a simple thing. That's why I remind myself all the time, and with respect, I remind you, go and look in the mirror and ask yourself, will I die? It sounds like a stupid question, because you might say, what kind of a stupid question? Will I die? Of course I will die. No, that's not the issue. Is it real for me? Is this real for me? Will I die? And if I die, is my belief that I will be resurrected, that I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I will answer for my deeds? If they are good, alhamdulillah, Allah will reward me. But if they are not good, then I must fear this. I don't want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sins. I don't want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as somebody who accepted a declaration of war from him. I don't want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as someone who neglected my salah, who did not pray, who did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whatever the nature of the sin. I don't want to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these sins. So what must I do? Get rid of them. That is why this hayat, this life that we have, is the greatest blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that we are alive, we are well, our brain is working, our body is working, we can make tawbah wal istighfar. And the time to do that is right now. Right now. We need to look at our lives, stop everything else. Sit down, take a look at your life and say, what in my life needs to change? What is it that I need to make istighfar for? How am I going to overcome this desire which is taking me into the Jahannam? Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu illa ma rahima rabbi. In Surah Yusuf, Yusuf alayhi salam said, verily my nafs can only do one thing, which is to misguide me. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu. This is the word, the nafs. Everybody, Yusuf alayhi salam is talking about his nafs, nafs of a Nabi, which is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, my nafs, this is my nafs. And the same thing applies to an infinite degree for people like us. We are not anbiya. Inna nafsa la ammaratum bisu illa ma rahima rabbi, except for the one on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. We ask Allah for his mercy. So this is what we have to overcome. We have to overcome this nafs. And the way to do that, the mashayikhin, they teach us this, that the way to overcome desire is resist every desire. We're not talking about haram. Halal. I feel like eating something, don't eat it. For no other reason that I now feel like eating it. I want to eat some sweet, I want to eat something which is dear to my heart, don't do it. Fight it. Do it later, not at that time. Not when this desire, I want to do this, my desire is struck, stop it. That is the way to get control over desire. I want to watch something, it's a great program on TV, I'm waiting for this, I must watch this match, don't watch it. Don't turn on the TV. Inside it will scream and rave and rant and you will say, oh, gone mad and this is a halal. No, I will not do it. Why? Because you are telling me. I will not do it because you are telling me. Whatever it is, except for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he tells you go to the masjid, don't fight that. But anything else, whatever it is, that is the way to get control over this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to overcome this desire to get control over our nafs and not to allow this nafs to take us into the fire. We ask Allah to protect us from that and to forgive us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.